Hi there. Welcome to quite an unorthodox episode of A View from the Bridge. Unorthodox because, well, this isn't the main part of the show. This is more or less the introduction. The main part of the show was coming from last Sunday night. In the doubleheader in Coventry, we took the show on the road, so to speak, and did a live recording from Crosby's Bar, where anybody who's ever been to the Sky Dome knows that Crosby's Bar is actually underneath the away block in the Sky Dome. We took it down the back of there, and it was actually really dark. I don't know why, they just didn't turn the lights on. And myself, Stu Coles, and Katie Parles stood and chatted, and the podcast that you're about to hear was what took place there. But however, we do refer back to the game on the Saturday and look ahead to the game on the Sunday, unbeknownst to us that was going to be one hell of a game. Probably one of the best games of hockey, most entertaining games of hockey I've seen in 4 or 5 years. An 8-5 thumping win for the Giants, with ejections, with fights, with some fantastic goals. But you probably know about all of this already, considering it's been talked to death, both by myself and on many on forums. Therefore, the actual live recording we got, I've sort of chopped and changed to bring into some form of a show. You'll also hear from Hitchies Junior and Senior. That was quite interesting. We also have interviews with Doug Christensen, Paul Thompson. And then once the show's done, if you come back to us here, I've got interviews with Doug Christensen's response to Sunday's win. The reason I've got those at the end is because, well, nobody knew during the show how that game was going to go. So, yeah, here we go. A View from the Bridge, live from Crosby's Bar. I hope you enjoy it. This is A View from the Bridge, unofficial podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today is Sunday, the 4th of November 2012, and my name is Patrick Smith, and we're here in Crosby's Bar in Coventry. I nearly said Newcastle. I don't know why. It's very, very dark, so it's going to be very interesting because I've made show notes and I really can't see them. So what I'll do to start off with is I'll introduce who's with me. I was going to say making your return to the podcast, but the podcast didn't actually happen due to a failure on my own behalf. But blogger extraordinaire and brand new Belfast Giants fan, it's Katie Parles. How are you doing, Katie?
Hello. Yes, I'm rather sore of voice, as you might be able to hear. This isn't how I normally sound. It's A View from the Bridge brought to you by Strepsils today.
And we've got another sponsor, but we'll come to that in a minute.
We will.
And also joining us is a guy who's no stranger to the podcast and the guy who we go to, the go-to guy with all things Coventry, and that's Stu Coles. How are you doing, mate? You all right?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks. Patrick's personal liaison in Coventry.
Oh, yes, my personal liaison. I don't know exactly what that's going to involve, or at least last night I didn't find out what that involved.
There's really just backstage access.
Now we're really going into sort of the chat that we had last night, but that's it. We're here on the Sunday, the day after the game. It's a doubleheader against Coventry, the Belfast Giants, and last night was a 5-4 overtime win for the Coventry Blaze in a game that was pretty much, well, it started off quite slowly, but was ended up quite exciting, Katie.
Yeah, it was a bit of a slow burner. Started out very quietly. I don't know why, but it picked up speed as the game went along, and the goals started to go in. And an amazing comeback from the Blaze to turn around a deficit of 2 or 3, wasn't it?
3-1. Yeah, I think going into the final period, it was 3-1 to the Belfast Giants, and for there was the end of regulation, it was 4-4. Quite a turnaround. It sort of hinged on a couple of penalties called by Mike Hicks. Sure.
Yeah, there was a too many men call right at the end of the second period, and I think that was key for the Blaze, because getting the goal on the power play right at the start of the third period meant that there was a big shift in momentum for the Blaze. Once that second goal came in, I think it was a matter of time that the third one came, and then at 3-3 in the third period, it's really anyone's game.
Brad Leib, a massive player for you in that game, coming up with a hat-trick. Leib.
He huge player. I think he's settling into the UK pretty well. I think he's over 10 goals now for the season already. The partnership with his brother is phenomenal. Even though we've got an NHL player, I think that's still our best line. Mm. And they look dangerous every time they're on the ice. Even though he's got the goal scoring skills, he's also got a work ethic, and he's back checking and getting involved in the whole team play, which I think is characteristic of the entire side this year.
Kitty Matt Bileski, the NHLer, he was, I'd say he was conspicuous, in my opinion, from his absence. I didn't really notice him for a guy whose standard is pretty high for this league.
No, I absolutely agree, actually. It was probably deep into the second period when somebody remarked, is the NHLer a bit ice tonight? You know, he was really quiet. It was a bit surprising, but like when Bleeb and Gleeb, as we're affectionately terming them, are on fire like that, you don't notice other players because, you know, they were just ruling the roost.
Yeah, it was really fantastic to see the way that player. Well, it was great for the Blues in that sort of comeback, especially with the league champions. To have that sort of, I'll just say it again, the league champions.
heard you the first time in
this arena. And then the overtime winner, well, Stephen Murphy didn't seem to be playing his usual game.
No, I thought he was pretty shaky, to be honest. And from what I've heard, it's been like that all season. As soon as the second goal went in, he seemed to lose all confidence. He was covering the puck straight away. He wasn't trying to play it, get it out to the defenceman, keep the play going. There were rebounds going all over the place. He was losing track of the puck when it was in front of the net and scrambling. He didn't look like the goalie he was last year. He was a very different player.
And your opinion on Matt Bileski?
I think he's good. I think he's still settling in. I'm not sure if the amount of ice time that he's now getting with the pace that he's having to play at, because we have to play, you know, the imports generally play more and are expected to give 100% on every shift. It's a slightly different way of playing than how they used to in the NHL, so maybe he's still settling in. I have to agree with you both, conspicuous by his absence last night.
Yeah, we'll talk about today what we're expecting from tonight's game later on, but we'd actually like to chat to you, Stu, about events that happened last week with the Coventry Blaze. I don't know if anybody's actually heard or noticed, because it's actually went pretty unnoticed by many, that in a game between the Coventry Blaze and the Cardiff Devils in the Big Blue Tent, it sort of descended into a bit of a tête-à-tête between the two teams.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And it sort of resulted in, you know, evil Cardiff receiving the bans that they deserve, whereas Angelic Blaze came away with nothing. What's your whole take on that situation?
Well, I mean, I think it takes two to tango.
Yes.
If you've seen the videos that have appeared on YouTube, the Blaze players were clearly fighting. You can't really argue with that. But if you read what the Elite League put out, which is one of the best worded press releases they've done for quite some time, is very very clear, and they didn't issue any penalties for fighting after the whistle. There was none of that was there. So you then have to look at the video and see, well, what did the Blaze players do other than fighting? Sure, Ben Olsen had an incident coming off the ice with a Cardiff fan who shouldn't have been there, but the league decided that there was nothing untoward there. The fan breached security, and they're happy that it was dealt with in an unfortunate manner, but they're not going to penalise him any further. Other than that, you know, what did the Blaze actually do? I think fighting after the whistle should have got you a penalty.
Yes.
I would have. You know, I definitely think Olsen and Egan probably should have got a three-match ban for fighting after the whistle, in line with their old match penalties. But under the same token, if they got the penalties for fighting after the whistle, then you'd have to give Didier Mette an extra three, you'd have to give Berbra an extra three as well. And I can imagine that would have gone down like a ton of bricks in Cardiff.
I think the Inferno would have actually set alight quite literally. The bans that went down were that Max Bebrere got 8 games overall, Didier Mette got 3, and Neil Francis on the bench got 5. I think that was the incident with Edgar that sort of has caused the most, what's the word, anger in South Wales. Kitty, if somebody like that, the player's going to get involved with the coaching, but surely both players need to get some sort of retribution
there. Yeah, I think of all the things that came out of it, that was the one I was sort of the most surprised about, that there was no sort of retribution, or, you know, not retribution, but punishment towards Egan. I mean, I honestly think that, you know, it's as Stu rightly pointed out, if they were going to punish people for fighting after the whistle, they had to punish everybody. The fighting wasn't the problem, it was the coming back onto the ice that was the problem, which is why Bebrayer and Didier Mette got so many match penalties out of it. But yeah, I think I'm 100% happy with the Olsen decision. I feel really, really strongly about that. I hate the thought that players can be seen as fair game just because they're bigger and stronger than, you know, your average Cardiff fan, I guess. You cannot come into a player's what is essentially a protected area and come aggressively at a player and not expect something from it. I honestly don't think that he deserved any punishment, rightly.
The fan himself got a one season ban, but I think that's been up to five now.
Yeah.
Should the I think the situation in Cardiff, the way the fans are set out, is quite similar to the way it is here in Coventry, with players coming along, which is basically a walkway that has to be closed out. Has there been any sort of incident here that's been verged on the same? And, you know, and what do you think about the danger of that sort of happening?
Yeah, I mean, we've had similar incidents here before. I mean, I can remember back when we were playing in the BNL that we used to have it where the penalty boxes weren't even glassed off. And Tony Hand got hit on the back of the head with a silver trophy that was being mocked up because we were being presented with the BNL title that night. And Tony turned round and, you know, hit back at the supporter. And, you know, it might have been rightfully so. You know, he's part of the game. He's not to be involved with. And now, since then, we've got glass round the penalty boxes, as you really should have. And I think, you know, sometimes you can get that it's happened where supporters have come into contact with players. It's difficult. You have to rely on security being up to speed, that people don't jump barriers. It's a difficult thing to police, but it shouldn't be impossible.
Yeah, moving on to other events that happened last night, I think one of the big things that have happened in Cardiff has they've picked up Paul Masonet. So what's his name?
Masonet.
Which sort of appeased a lot of the Cardiff fans who were basically threatening to, rip their Elite League badges off all their shirts, not go to any away games, go to playoffs, but not actually go to playoffs, just stand outside and protest. And a lot of them saying they're not going to renew their season ticket anymore because they didn't feel that the Devils have stood up to the evil Elite League the way they should have, because they're always being picked on. And I've got my opinions. I don't know if those opinions are coming out in this.
I think you need to make it a little more clear.
I think so. Yeah. But the next day, Paul Regan said we'd get a big power forward, and Masonet was the guy. A guy didn't really get that much ice time in the NHL because he's sort of a role player, but 72 seconds it took him last night to score against the Brayhead Clan in a 7-5 win in Brayhead for the Devils. Will that appease the Devils fans, you think? A player like that is obviously going to have some sort of high standard in the NHL, but, you know, to play here, he's not going to be a clogger. Yeah.
I think it's more of it's just an absolute PR, it's a gift. Like, Reagan must have been rubbing his hands together, because honestly, not only is he, you know, he's an NHLer, he's, you know, probably around the same sort of standard as some of the ones we've already got over here, but his personality, his Twitter presence, his feistiness, it's a little gift of a, you know, here we are, Cardiff fans, have something back.
Of course, social media presence is something that the Devils have fallen foul of in the last couple of days.
Yeah, they have been fined for a couple of errant tweets, and some blog posts have appeared on the internet. But, you know, I think Bissonnette should, you know, he can be a good capture for them. I mean, he's something like 350,000 followers on Twitter, which is more than many Stanley Cup winners from the Kings side have got. You know, he's a third, fourth liner in the NHL, which is clearly much better than any set of players that we would normally have here. So he's going to be a cut above the rest, regardless of whether he's usually a grinder or a bit of a fighter.
I think that one of the big things for the Devils is the, considering what happened last week, there's a lot of looking forward to maybe the next rematch with the Blaze, but that doesn't happen for quite a while.
Well, it's the end of November. There's a sneaky game at the end of the month down in the Big Blue Tent, and then we've got the usual Christmas doubleheader against them. So Boxing Day in Cardiff, day after in Coventry, and I think that's what people are looking forward to. I think they're sort of kind of ignoring the fact that we actually play each other in about a month's time, and Burbrow will actually still be suspended by the time we go to play them next. But they'll have Bissonnette. Maybe, you know, maybe they'll be rejuvenated. They'll get on the run now and get things going again. Hopefully not. But.
Kenny, there's a the press. Just one last point on this whole incident is the press hasn't been great for the Elite League. A front cover of Night of Shame in one of the local Cardiff papers. Is there such thing as bad publicity? Because more than likely, the rematches between these two teams could actually sell good tickets.
Absolutely, yeah. Paul Wheeler, who does the fourth line wing blog, he made a very good point about the no publicity is bad. What is it? There's no such thing as bad publicity. Yeah. I think from a very insular Cardiff Blaze perspective, it is good publicity and it is going to get people, it's going to get bums on seats. But I think the overarching effect on, you know, the sporting media at large, as it were, is not good, really. It's not a great image. It's the only thing you hear about ice hockey for, you know, months, and it's a massive brawl. So I think, no, it is. I think it's quite bad publicity, really.
And I'm just very, very, I don't want to delve into this too much, but a quick word on, a single sentence on Neil Chipman's blog about it, Sky Sports blog, if you got to read that.
It was terrible, and I'm not surprised that they didn't post my comment that I left it.
It was nonsense. It was really disappointing because he can write some really good stuff, and he did follow it up the next day with an excellent post about Ben Olsen and the situation with the fan. But the first one was just, it was sensationalist.
Yeah, I think so. A couple of scores from last night was that Fife beat the Caps 2-1, and then ahead of the biggest game in European hockey tonight, which takes place, I think, at the NIC, is it, or the Motorport Arena? But anyway, the Steelers beat the Stars 4-3 in overtime. Dundee's a really difficult place to go.
Yeah.
It seems that Dundee at home are playing a really good game.
They've not lost in regulation all season, have they? Two overtime defeats and 7 wins. They really, everyone talks about how difficult Cardiff is to go and play, but they're really developing something up there.
I think that Jeff John Hutchins is doing a good job. I think it's his second season as a coach.
Brent Hughes vacated the post. I think there's supposedly the young netminder Nick Ryapel, is it? Is a bit of a wunderkind, as it were. He's setting them alight, I think. It's good, it's impressive, and it's nice to see them competing on a more even keel with the rest of the sides in their conference and in the whole league.
And the biggest game is in European hockey, as I said, takes place tonight. The way that the teams are playing in the Urquhart Conference, how big is that game now? Because you talked about two teams that are right there at the top.
If you're thinking of the biggest game in the conference, I think it's here tonight. I think the two best teams playing in the conference are here, they're not up there. I think Sheffield have got lucky with playing this when we were short of imports and maybe not firing on all cylinders. And the same could be said to the Panthers to a certain extent, but we did beat them a few weeks ago. I expect the game to be dull as dishwater as it usually is.
You were at the Steelers Panthers game,
yes.
and you weren't impressed.
It was disappointing. Yeah, I they obviously make a great deal of the rivalry, and obviously it wasn't being felt by the players because there was no intensity whatsoever and no real desire, and you know, it was very disappointing. I imagine it'll probably be more of the same tonight.
Stu, quick comment on the Coventry team so far this season. You've got some really big guys in there, in the likes of Olsen, and they said we talked about the Gleeb and Bleeb. How do you think that the Coventry team are going to play this season? You did say you think this is the biggest game in the conference tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've got a physical side, certainly a lot more physical than we've had the past couple of years. I mean, as you mentioned, they're all big boys. I mean, across the team, I mean, most of the guys are sort of 6 foot plus. You can look at the defence. You've got Egner as well, who's a big guy. I mean, Domish might only be one of the shorter ones, but he's about 6 foot, but he certainly packs a punch. I think one of the comments that I think Aaron made on the webcast last night was he's about as tall as he is wide as well. Really, as forward, I think Dustin Cameron for me has been an absolute sensation. He checks hard. He's got a great goal scoring touch, and he was signed almost as like an afterthought. It's like, oh yeah, and by the way, we signed Cameron, and everyone was like, oh, he looks okay. He's coming. He's in. He's really impressed. So yeah, two very energetic top scoring forward lines, and then very gritty on the third line. Sam Smith and Jadis, really, you know, get involved and play very good defensive hockey.
Yeah, I think one of the big things was the grit that was shown last night, especially you come back a 3-1 deficit like that, and the team very fast forward and not afraid to get dirty in the corners. Mm. It was very. What was your take on the Blaze team you just saw last night, Kitty?
It was as I expected. As I said before, I was really excited to see the Blaze this season, even from before. Before the season, when I saw the team they were putting together, I thought, yeah, this has got the potential to be a really good side, and they've come together in a way that, like, you know, you can never predict. They've got that team ethic, like Stu says, they're very physical. They've also got the skill. People like Guthrie were some of the best hands in the league. And yeah, I was really excited to see them, and they did live up to my expectations, especially obviously in that third period where they dug deep and got what they needed.
I think one of the best things to happen to this team this year was Mike Danton not coming over.
He
was apparently sending emails to the team, and it sort of gelled them together. And then the fact that he didn't get in with the visa, and there was this protracted, it gave the team of sort of like, you know, backs against the wall. We've got to fight on, and that really gelled the side together.
It's like a talisman, but it isn't even here. I absolutely agree. So you could see the team coming together, like forming this tight knit group, because you had injury very early on as well. A couple wasn't it? Domish and Cowley.
And it seemed like
they were
been out
fighting. Yeah. From fighting the odds, and that's sometimes one of the best things can happen.
Last weekend we played with a full complement of imports all season.
I think Danton, you mentioned, even from his position, he hasn't even reached the country. With his Twitter presence and everything, seems to be Coventry's head cheerleader.
Yeah, well, you need guys like that on your team. You need someone to, you know, who's gonna get behind the lads. And he, you know, if he's managing to do it from a keyboard in another country, then he's pretty good at it.
Yeah. No, your take on that then?
I think it's brilliant. I love to see it. He's really banging the drum for Coventry all the time. He talks to the guys as if they're his friends already, you know, even though he probably hasn't met many of them. And it's quite a unique situation, and it's good to see.
Yeah. Look on tonight. I know because you're going to be going in a minute, so I'll chat to you about tonight's game, what you're expecting. I think the Giants are hurting, especially losing that lead the way they did in the final period. And I think tonight, in my opinion, they're going to come out all guns blazing.
Yeah, I think we're going to see them come out in the first period and try and be absolutely explosive. They're going to want to get two or three goals up early doors and try and you know, sort of put the game to bed early on, because I think that was the mistake they made perhaps in the second period, when they had a couple of extra chances and they really could have been more ahead than they were, and you know, taking that 2-goal lead with a power play or a penalty kill rather coming in on the third period, it gave the opportunity for the Blaze to come back. And I think if they leave the door open again, they're going to have problems, so probably they'll try and get away from that.
Especially when you come in these big games, you know, when you're up against a conference rival. I spoke to Doug Christensen in the game against Hull that was on the podcast about, you know, the importance of the games against cross conference. You know, when you're only going to these places once or twice, but the conference itself is as important as anything else. Kitty?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you get to build up season-long rivalries with you know, teams when you're playing them like 8 times. And obviously, as you know, as we've said before, this is the first time these sides have faced each other. So I think last night there was a sense of, you know, feeling each other out, getting the sort of, you know, learning each other's weaknesses. And I think the key tonight is Doug Christensen does not let a side lose twice in a row. Yeah. It just doesn't happen. He's against Germany, against Sheffield. You bounce back and you win. I cannot see any other outcome. But then this Blaze side is a different story. So.
Yeah, I've got. What I started here is I got a chance to interview both coaches at the end of last night's game, just to get. And I think you can hear Doug Christensen's anger in his voice. Doug, going into the final period, I guess that's not the outcome that anybody expected.
No, definitely not. You know, we knew from the beginning of the period that that penalty kill was going to be crucial. We had at least two, maybe three chances to clear the puck. Didn't. We got stuck and. Next thing you know, it's in the back of our net, and the whole game changed there.
Coventry, it's always a difficult place to come to, but I guess the Giants, since they come back from Germany, have been a bit hit and miss.
Well, I don't know if that's necessarily the case. I mean, we didn't play very well against Sheffield. I think that blaming something on Germany or saying one thing or the other is fairly irrelevant. I mean, tonight's game had nothing to do with Germany. We didn't get pucks out. We took a selfish penalty. And, you know, next thing you know, we're down 4-3, and we were actually fortunate to get a point.
We've got another game against Coventry tomorrow night. It's another chance to make up against this.
Well, I think the big thing that, you know, I'm very, very frustrated, very, very angry at the minute, but tomorrow a win puts us in a tie for first place, and we have to, you know, focus on the positives, and that's a big positive to before the Olympic break, to, you know, when all the games in hand are done, to be able to be in a tie for first place is, you know, obviously where you would want to be at the beginning of the season.
And with the break ahead and with the trip that you and the guys have ahead of you, is the game tomorrow a big thing for you?
It's a crucial game. I think that we showed our ability and our resiliency to bounce back last weekend, and we have to have the same level of performance tomorrow.
Okay, thanks, man.
Thanks.
Coach, coming into the final period there, I guess, with it, I don't know what your thoughts were, Belfast well ahead, and you really had to fight back, and your team really did it.
I think my thoughts, I was more annoyed, because I think we'd handed the opportunities to a very good hockey club, and if you do that, anyone in our division is going to make that count, and I was more annoyed of how we gave up the opportunities to Belfast. And but with this team, you know, we've been down in a few games this year, but it's a 60-minute hockey game. It's not a 40-minute hockey game. And, you know, I thought we came back in the third period, and like I said, I thought we picked our level up another 25-30%, and I thought we were the better team in the third period. And, you know, we got the goals when they counted.
I think that in the final period was really where the hockey game came to life.
From our point of view, and it's where our power play came to life. You know, I mean, but you know, good teams shut each other down. We look at each other, we study each other on video, we have team meetings. We, you know, everybody in this league spends a lot of time trying to stop the other team from scoring.
Yeah.
And you know, at one point, you know, you're thinking this is going to be a low-scoring game, and then it kind of, you know, we 3-1 down, and then I thought we had a great effort to come back and win in overtime.
Your penalty kill is very aggressive, especially on that 5-on-3.
Well, I mean, there was the game right there for, you know, Dougie Christensen will be looking at that and thinking, well, there was the game on a plate. And, you know, if you don't score your 5-on-3s, when you look back at in most games, when you don't execute on them, maybe it doesn't go the right way for you. But I thought our net mining was superb on the 5-on-3, and I thought we stayed in, you know, puck lanes. We know who the danger guys are. We know the plays that they're looking to run, and I thought we took that away.
Some crucial saves from Peter Hirsch tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he came up big when it mattered, especially in the third period.
And I think with when you pick up 2 points against the league champions on a doubleheader, you've got to be happy coming into the second game.
Well, yeah, I mean, the league is so tight this year that, you know, you can't on any given night just expect to turn up and win the game. I mean, you know, from top to bottom, it doesn't matter about the conferences. And, you know, I thought at 4-3 that we were going to close the game out, and then they got a power play goal that, and the shot was missing the net, and then, you know, they got a bounce back there, and we've had a bounce as well, so, you know, it evens itself out. But, you know, I'm more annoyed about, I love our comeback, but I'm more annoyed about giving up a point.
Okay, thanks very much. Good luck for tomorrow.
No worries, buddy.
Stu, your coach by far the happier.
Yeah, by far the happier. The dressing room last night was very buoyant. Lots of chat, lots of laughter, and you know, the sign of a team that's enjoying playing their hockey. You know, there was a real spirit about the team, and the coach was enjoying it. I mean, if he comes to the rink and sees his team playing like that night after night, he's going to be happy with it.
And Kitty, Doug will give his wrath to the Giants, and then they'll know exactly what they have to do tonight.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, the Giants come to work after a loss, and they know what they've got to do. And as I say, I think they'll do that job, definitely.
Do you want to go when I turn up?
Yeah, yep. I shall.
So at this point, I think Stu's going to have to leave us because he's got his own media duties to do, which I'll liaise with you.
Yeah, we'll have some liaison later.
We'll do some liaising later on. Thanks for joining us, mate.
No problems. Right, see you soon.
It's got a bit hectic now. Coming back from that, we've been joined by young Jack Hitchcock and his father. Jack just seems to be like a shorter version of Mark, which, if you know Mark, is actually quite scary.
That's very good, dude.
What was the next one?
Well, let's see if we can get Hitchy over here. Hitchy! Here. We're now, as he fights his way around, carrying a Diet Coke. Is it Diet Coke?
Jean-Paul Gaultier edition Diet Coke. I am heterosexual. Are we on?
Yeah, we are on, yes. Jean-Paul Gaultier, that seems to be like the shorter version of you.
Yes, I'm very proud.
Yes.
You've moulded him in your own image.
I think his description of the toilets was the best one that I've heard in a long time from an 8-year-old. Hitchy, your take on, you've seemed to have recovered well from last night.
Yeah.
Some fantastic dancing going on what was described by the bouncers as the thing.
It was the best performance in the entire building last night.
Really? You didn't enjoy the game?
I can't remember it.
No recollection of the game.
Well, Coventry did very, very well to come from behind. It was like the blitz all over again. What a recovery.
A slight silence.
And moving on, your Hirsch song was inspired.
Yes, I think there was a rendition of Hirsch, which is the lesser known Kulishiker.
Yeah.
Version.
Hirsch. I thought I heard you calling my name now. Hush. It's a great tune, and it's nice for the Coventry Netminders to have a song about him, because not many people know he exists most of the time. Good for him.
I'm surprised that you're actually here and not at the biggest game in European ice hockey, which is taking place over in the East Midlands. Would that not really be your cup of tea?
No, it's a long way to drive for the biggest rivalry in British or European ice hockey, but I'm sure because of the magnitude of the game, it'll be televised somewhere, so I'll just catch it later on my TiVo box.
Your TiVo box?
Product placement.
Speaking of product placement, we've got this podcast has actually been sponsored by Taylor's Butchers.
Oh yes, I have to mention Taylor's Butchers. Stuart from Taylor's Butchers very kindly brought me and Patrick each an Italian pork parcel.
Hitchy, an Italian pork parcel.
Yeah, indeed.
Have you no comment on that at all?
No.
No. You've brought your son along to this game. Oh, no, sorry, actually, before I move on, yes, I have to thank him for their Italian pork parcels.
Absolutely, yeah.
I'm really, really looking forward to it.
What are they called? Would you like me to do a sound bite for them?
Yes.
What are they called?
Taylor's Butchers.
Taylor's Butchers, Coventry. Fill yourself with pork, just like Katie does.
That was the sound of me hitting you. Anyway, yes, we would like to thank Taylor's for their generosity, and we obviously promised them a plug on the podcast, and I've already read about them in a couple of blogs. They've achieved fame by feeding the Blaze players with several interesting meaty products, really good sports, and they're actually waiting for us in Crosby's fridge right now.
Yeah, they've been sitting in Crosby's fridge all day. Hitchy, you've brought your son to this game. You yourself started following the Steelers in 1992, as I discovered this weekend, when
yes.
You made sure you made a point of that to some guy who'd been yes. Followed since 1994. How's Jack taken to this sport? Has he enjoyed it?
Yeah, he likes the razzmatazz of it all. He actually prefers coming here, than be going to the arena in Sheffield.
A Blaze fan?
No, I wouldn't, say he's say he's a Blaze fan.
Is it because it's good here?
It's because it's a rink, and I think rinks are better for hockey.
Yes.
When you go to soulless places like the Sheffield Arena or the Odyssey, then it's difficult to get the same kind of atmosphere that you can get in a little shed in the middle of a desolate town like this.
It's the desolation of the town that makes the ring what it is.
You're a big fan of Coventry?
I do. I love coming to watch the games here. I really like it. Outside of these walls, though, not so much.
What do you think of the game? What do you think is going to happen in the game tonight? Do you think you might actually get to see this one?
I think the Giants will get revenge tonight. I think it'll be comfortable. I don't know why, I've just got a feeling that after the closeness of last night, I've got a teeling, hashtag, that the Blaze will bleed blue, hashtag. But I think, got to stop saying tag on this podcast. I think that I just genuinely feel 4 or 5 goal win for the Giants. I think they're going to storm it tonight, no pun intended.
Thanks, mate. And and some more musical renditions, I think.
Absolutely.
Is Jack going to get involved?
I think so. I've made a deal with Jack that if the game's boring, we are going to leave early. So no pressure on the Blaze and the Giants to put on a show.
Some more Cooler Shaker related player songs.
Maybe something of Govan de Dajaya.
And it's like you said earlier, we've given up an opportunity to be the biggest game in European hockey, but let's not forget we've also given up the results of the love phase of the X Factor tonight, which is also pivotal.
That's very true.
Yes, I really don't know what to say to that.
X Factor, as popular as it is, isn't really one of my cups of tea, but I know it definitely is yours. And how's America's Next Top Model going these days?
It's a really good series, actually. The new one is Americans and British Models going head-to-head. It's called The British Invasion. Catch it on Living.
Thanks, mate. We're going to finish off with... you can get involved in this if you want.
Okay.
I've actually written down 10 different words, because we didn't get the chat about Germany. We did get the chat about Germany, but the podcast never went to air. So the whole trip to Landshut. But Katie, as the new Belfast Giants fan that you are, referring to us and we, and you know, mm-hmm. are coming all the way to Germany to watch the Belfast Giants, I'm going to read you these 10 words one by one, and I want you to give me a response as quick as you can.
Okay.
You ready?
Warning in advance, this might be unbroadcastable.
And I'm going to say it to you, and I'm going to get your response.
Okay.
And then I'm going to, and anything that's unbroadcastable, I'll just beep.
Okay.
And then Hitchy's going to say his as well.
Okay.
Which might be.
Sounds good. Let's do it.
Peacock.
Sleepy.
Very tiny.
Beer.
A lot.
Shandy.
Landshut.
Cannibals.
Land Open.
Bell.
End.
Ring my.
The barman, of course. He rings when he wants.
Hockey.
Hockey.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very, very wide range, isn't it?
Yeah. Terrible, terrible sport.
Exciting.
Bus.
Back.
Giants.
Usins. Third world.
Barman.
Rings when he wants.
Jägerbeiser.
And finally, Erasure.
They have a little respect.
Jimmy Savile.
Right, and I think
you were doing that last
night. Yeah, I was. We stood next to the big punch bag that I injured myself on last night, and there we go. There's one big punch going on. Hey, Jack.
You got to change.
You got to change. Do you want to say anything?
Make a comment about
ice hockey. What do you think of ice hockey? Young Jack Hitchcock making his A View from the Bridge debut.
No.
No.
What do you think about ice hockey? Who's your favourite team?
Coventry Blaze.
No! Steelers.
Oh. Boo.
Shut up. Okay. I boo for you.
You boo for me, okay. Oh, okay. Well, I've been told an 8-year-old soundly put me in my place.
Why don't you tell them a joke?
You know
a joke?
Yeah.
Go on.
I don't know.
What kind of bees make milk? Remember?
Nut bees.
Boobies.
Yeah, boobies. 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 Boobies.
His father's son. That's all I've got to say about that. Father.
Conceived in Nottingham.
Yes. And he is an annoying, balded head man.
I think on that note, we'll say thanks to Katie.
Thank you very much.
Thanks to Hitchy.
Thank you.
Thanks to Stu, wherever he is, setting up the media room. We're off to enjoy. I think enjoy's the word, Hitchy.
Yep.
The Blaze against the Giants. I think you're perched ready to say something.
I just want to finish this podcast by saying, Jono, please shave your head.
I'll say thanks very much, and we'll catch you next time here. What? Have I got any more?
Any chains so I can
play. You want to play the punch bag?
Yeah.
We're off to play the punch bag. We'll catch you next time in A View from the Bridge.
And there you have it, a very enjoyable A View from the Bridge live from Crosby's Bar. We left a lot of things in there, most notably Jack Hitchcock's fantastic boobies joke. Maybe I should have cut it out. Maybe I shouldn't be saying boobies again, but I'm going to say it again. There we go, boobies. Very enjoyable one to do, and thanks to Katie and to Stu and to Hitchy and to Jack for joining us. After we left there, we went into the Sky Dome for what ended up being one of the most entertaining games of hockey I've watched in probably 4 or 5 years, of the last 4 or 5 years of the Elite League. 8-5 win for the Belfast Giants, and afterwards I got a chance to speak with two people. First of all, we're going to hear from Dale Hammond, a good friend, Coventry Blaze fan, about his opinions on, well, that game, which was basically on everybody's mind, and then the Blaze in general.
Use the bridge, Dale Hammond. How's it going, mate?
Oh, not too bad. Bit of an enjoyable game, that one.
Yeah, I think when I initially wanted to chat with you, I think it was just about more of this in general, how the Blaze were doing and blah, blah, blah. But
We've had a bit of a barn burner game here tonight.
Certainly have. A lot kicked off in that first period. Goss being a cold goalie, I think he's done very well for us. And I think again tonight we've just shown our never say die attitude that we've all enjoyed watching this season. It's been absolutely fantastic to watch. And you've seen from the reaction of the fans tonight that everyone enjoys that and everyone can appreciate that, okay, we've lost by 3 goals, but we've given it everything.
I think the Giants in that third period had a 2-goal lead. We had a 2-goal lead last night, but the Blades really dug in there, pulled it back. And it took a lot of effort from the Giants, because in that third period, it was pretty much all Blades.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the extra few bodies last night was the key to getting the comeback and pushing the game into overtime. We had a few opportunities. Bolesky had a chance to make it 7-6, but
tell it like it is.
Hey, Jack.
They bought the ref.
Please.
but yeah, I think lacking bodies in that third period definitely took its toll. And yeah, then David Phillips comes up with the eighth goal and. Had to be him, didn't it?
Yeah, he was much maligned and he got a lot of abuse for being a Cov Blaze reject, and I think he quite enjoyed that goal.
I think he did enjoy it. You could tell by his reaction. He had a mixed sort of emotions when he was here last season, so I think he was pleased to get that goal under his belt.
Yeah. And so you're saying that the Blaze, you know, we've had... That's two Sundays in a row. They've been in pretty hefty games, let's put it that way. But you're saying that the never-say-die attitude and the heart that this team have put in have really stood them well in the last couple of weeks?
Definitely. I mean, last weekend was a little different. Down in Cardiff, God knows what sort of kicked it all off after the game, but from what we could see, I was there and all the conversations between the fans were what kicked that off. No one really knew. No one really knew what started it. But here tonight, yeah, it was definitely a feisty first period. I think with a delayed start, I think Olsen and Keith going from the start got the crowd going. It was the right move from both of them. And Keith was clever during the game as well to know that if he fought Olsen one more time, Olsen would go, and Olsen fell for the trap, and that was another player down, and we were 4 players down then, so Keith knew exactly what he was doing, and fair play to him.
What do you expect from the Coventry Blaze this season? Because it's been the last few seasons haven't been great considering the history that this club's had in previous years. Are you expecting them to be thereabouts fighting for the title?
I'd like to think so, yeah. I think their attitude has shown that. I mean, if we can get pushed into the top three again, that'd be a great achievement. We've qualified for the Cup now. Hopefully we can make a good run of that, and we've missed out on that in the last few seasons. So that'd be another one to get a good Cup run together. And obviously at the end of the season, we've got to try and make that final four weekend. We've missed out on that for the last two seasons. I think the attitude of the team shows that they are determined to do that. And hopefully we'll see the improvements.
A few pints tonight at the Halloween party?
Possibly, yeah. Possibly. I think last night as well. So maybe take it a bit easier tonight.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you very much.
Cheers, mate.
Thanks again to Dale. Good to see him. Next up, and finally, we've got an interview after that 8-5 win with Doug Christensen. And he was a lot happier than the interview that you heard earlier, the one from the Saturday night, especially just ahead of his trip to Japan.
Right, Coach, I don't know where to start. 13 goals, a number of ejections, a number of fights, a barn burner. The crowd here was fantastic, but most importantly of all, 2 points.
Yeah, I think that's the number one thing that we have to take away from today. Going into the Olympic break, we're tied for first. We're where we want to be. We have 2 regulation losses. We played at Coventry twice, at Nottingham twice, at Sheffield twice. We've had very few home games. So for where we're at the time, in terms of the results and the standings, I'm very happy with that. Tonight, I thought our discipline was paramount. You know, obviously they lost a bit of control and they lost a lot of key players, including their goaltender, which kind of makes tonight's game a little bit less satisfying because Coventry played very, very well, and I think that they probably left here feeling like they played great, and we left here tonight with a win and felt like we didn't play that well. So, but if someone had told me we'd get 2 points tonight, I would have taken it.
The Giants obviously want to come into a crowd like this and cause problems. And how difficult is it to keep your discipline in a situation like that? Because, quite frankly, it seems all hell was breaking loose with that line brawl.
Well, it definitely did. And one of the things that I'm proud of our guys, nobody left the bench. And that really cost him. Edgner's a big part of the team. He comes out. Stewie stands in and does a good job in the fight. But And obviously, they wind up getting their goaltender kicked out. So for us, all hell was breaking loose. We stayed the course. We got the job done. And that's what we really try to do, but we definitely have some areas that we can improve.
And even with the physicality that was on the ice, there were some fantastic goals being scored.
Yeah, I thought, that line of the Leaves and Guthrie and Bolesky, man, they're good. I hope the lockout ends real quick so Bolesky gets out of here. But the truth is, that's one of the thrills of having a lockout is you have guys like Bolesky who can who work so hard and is in such good shape and works the corners well, makes plays, but I think Guthrie's the best player in the league, and I've said that last year. He's fantastic, and every single time he's on the ice, he's dangerous, and you combine that with the Leaves, all of a sudden, they're a pretty explosive team.
Brad Leib leaving the ice in the first period, sort of unhappy with referee Andrew Carson. He was a key player for them last night, and that was a real blow for them.
Well, it is, and you know, we talk about it a lot. We have a hefty fines for 10-minute misconducts. We don't accept that as part of the way that we do our business, and we try to put our chin to our chest and go to the box, and we're not perfect at it, but we try to be disciplined. And tonight, when you lose a little bit of composure and they lose one of their top players, that was a big help to us. And then Edgner a little bit later, and Olsen for his third fight, so all of a sudden they're three imports down.
Your captaincy, do you enjoy himself?
You know what, Adam Keefe plays the game on the edge, and he wears his heart on his sleeve, and he truly cares about this team winning and losing. And to stand in there against a guy who's 6 inches taller than you twice in a game, and to say after the period that he was trying to get him kicked out for the third fight, that's leadership, that's heart. The fact that he has a little bit of fun with the crowd, he'll be the first person after the game to sign all the autographs. And he does a good job of leaving things at the ring, but he's a competitor, and I think everybody who came here tonight probably walked out either loving him or hating him, and that's part of the business too.
3 points in this doubleheader and now a hefty break before the next game. How difficult will it be to keep the momentum up with this win?
Well, you know what, I don't know if there's a lot of momentum out of this. I thought that we should add a 4-point weekend. We didn't get the job done. But the flip side of that coin is 3 points out of four in Coventry is real tough. You know, Nottingham's lost here, Sheffield's lost here. A lot of teams are going to lose here. And for us to get that result is important. The guys this week, they've got four double sessions starting tomorrow for all the guys who aren't going to GB, and then they'll have Friday, Saturday, Sunday off just to be able to get away from the game for a few days. But they've got a tough week ahead of them. They've earned a couple-day break, and for everybody else, that's a great opportunity.
Last word about Adam Goss and the Blaze net, and coming into a situation like that's tough for a young netminder. At least he stood up pretty well.
Yeah, it's an impossible situation for the kid. You know, it's one of those where he can help win the game, he can help lose the game. Give the kid credit. He made some big stops early, you know, but that's the nature of our business. And we are fortunate that Hirsch lost his cool and was the third man in. And it was clearly that he was the third man in. There's no arguing it.
Okay, well, enjoy Japan.
Thank you very much. Kanpai.
And thanks again to Doug. Yep, he's off to Japan with Team GB. They should be out there right now enjoying maybe a sake or two. Wish them well. Both Pete, he's there. Peacock's there. I think Mark Garside's there. Steve Murphy's most definitely there. And there, it's the Olympic qualifiers. That's it from us for this week. There's no Belfast Giants games this weekend because I think the Giants, the Steelers, and the Panthers have a week off due to this Olympic international break. There are other Elite League games going on across the country. If you're at those, we hope you enjoy them, and we'll see you here next time on A View from the Bridge.